Good morning, church. I'll tell you what, it's great to be home. So lovely to be back in Skylark Church. Pete and I have been away, for those of you who don't know, at Spring Harvest, and we took a team with us, and we had an amazing time. We can't wait just to begin to unpack different things that we saw and learned and that God did. Just so many incredible things happened. But we learned an immense amount, as you often do when you're in a different context. And one of the things that I can really confidently say is that I just learned how amazing this church is. Yes. You can go all across the world and see incredible things, but there's nothing like your own family. And, you know, we genuinely missed you. Last Sunday, we may have been with 5,000 other people, but we weren't with all of you. And we're not saying that flippantly or lightly. That's not rhetoric. That's the truth. We love this church. We love this family. And there are some incredible things that are taking place here. And we felt that we were privileged enough to be able to deposit some of the DNA that God has given us as a family into a wider context, which was incredible. Where do I start on things that happened? It's really difficult to know. Pete was speaking in the leaders stream every day with a wonderful man called Steve Upple. And I know because a couple of church leaders came to my sessions on different days and told me how much they had been impacted by the wisdom and the insight that Pete brought in that context. So I know that he made a massive difference in encouraging what actually, you know, I can say this because I am one, but church leadership's really hard. It's an amazing privilege, but until you're actually standing with that mantle on your shoulders, it's impossible to know what it's like on a day-in, day-out basis. We can all make a really well-informed judgment from the comfort of not being in that position. But what we saw were a lot of church leaders who are doing incredible things in really hard contexts. And I know that Pete and Steve, by the grace of God, were able to get alongside and strengthen some of those church leaders who maybe were feeling a bit discouraged, or who maybe were just feeling in need of some extra reinforcement for the journey, or who were looking for some wisdom and insight with some very real difficult pastoral situations that they were facing in their context. And so to know that Pete was used really just to get alongside and cheer on and encourage and strengthen and bring life to those church leaders is, you know, what a great encouragement to us as a church, hey? Also, I just want to say that the team that came with us did us proud. You would have just been, if you'd been there in the right kind of way, you would have felt really immensely proud. They lifted our arms up in prayer. They got alongside us. And the worship team drove for 4.5 hours for 1 hour session. 1 hour session. They drove all that way and back. And I want to tell you something. I stood on that platform with our worship team, and it just was so exciting to see that this worship that we've spent over a decade cultivating, this culture of worship, it's not musicianship. It comes from this wonderful place of loving God and loving each other. That just oozed out, and people were so blessed and inspired and touched by it. I want to tell you, our team were incredible, and it just felt to us that what we've worked really hard to establish, you know, we have such a high requirement level from our worship team. You may not be aware of that, but we asked them to commit to every single Thursday night in term time. Now, in a commuter city like Chelmsford, that's a big ask, isn't it? But some of those guys have faithfully committed week upon week upon week for over a decade. And the thing that that's done is it's cultivated this sense of unity in the team, that any of us can stand and worship with another one. And it goes beyond slick chords, and it goes beyond singing words on a screen. What really stood out was just this sense of, we're just here to seek God's face and to serve the body of Christ. So I just want to tell you, I could keep talking about the different things that happened. My sessions went amazingly. Thank you for praying. It's a scary moment where you suddenly stand up in front of 5,000 people and think, yikes. And honestly, that's how I felt. But I knew that you guys were surrounding me and Pete and the team in prayer, and that made such a massive difference. So we just want to say thank you for supporting us in that. We'd love to ask, on a practical note, if you could continue to cover us really for this next week or so. It's a lot of upheaval for our one-year-old daughter, Aria. You know, she was with a lot of other people, and she was wonderful whilst we were there. But she's not been well since we returned home, and I just think if you could cover us as a family, we'd really value that, because it's not just whilst you're in ministry, it's actually what you come home to that's really, really massive. So we would value your support and your prayers and practical assistance over this next week too. And thank you. Now this morning, I am really excited about what's about to take place. You see, we're looking at the theme of Thrive and life in all its fullness. And one of the biggest challenges that faces us as a church as we grow, and you'll know there have just been so many new faces in the life of the church over the last few months. It's hugely exciting, but it presents us with a challenge, and that's this. How do we each feel a part of this family? How do we actually connect in and not become isolated, disparate groups of people doing our own thing and occasionally gathering together on a Sunday? Well, the answer to that is life groups. And part of our vision moving forward as a church is to see as many people in the life of the church connected into a small group setting. Why? Well, it's because we need to enjoy that fellowship one with another. There's a place for us to come and be vulnerable with a smaller group of people. It's impossible to do that on a Sunday morning with the best will in the world. And as the church grows and changes, and I really do believe that there is a numerical growth that's coming to us, and I don't say that in any kind of, Pete and I, we're not interested in seeking after numbers, but it stands to reason that actually as we grow internally and as we become followers of Jesus and enjoy life in all its fullness, that actually growth is just a natural byproduct of that. So we do believe as a church that growth in numbers is happening and will continue to happen. But what that means is that actually as a body of people, we have to find a way to connect in on a smaller level, to have accountability, to love one another practically. And so this morning, it's my absolute delight and privilege to welcome our Life Group Overseers, Anna and Andrew Holland, to the platform. Can we give them a warm welcome? Come and take a seat. I think we're going to spread out a bit. I feel like a little bit contained there. That's better. Now, Anna and Andrew are an amazing couple. Oh, thanks. Thanks, Pete. They've been heading up our life groups for a little while now, and every time I talk to them, their passion is infectious. And we wanted to really spend some time talking with them this morning and allowing you kind of almost into their front room. It's a bit like that this morning, just allowing you into the front room of their lives so that you can not only hear about the nitty-gritty of life groups, but what I want you to catch is who these guys are. They are outstanding leaders. They have such incredible vision, not only for life groups as a whole, but for their own life group. And their passion is infectious. And so I'm going to ask them a few questions this morning and hopefully just convey a little bit about why we're encouraging people as part of this theme of thriving to connect into a life group. So good morning, Anna and Angie.
Good morning. Are we? Yes.
Okay, brilliant. I like this. We're already kind of deciding who's going to speak. So now, Anna and Andrew, for anyone who hasn't had the opportunity to get to know you over a cuppa after church, or maybe for those who are visiting with us today for the first time, could you just tell us a little bit more about yourselves? We'd love to just know, you know, a little bit of information that not everybody knows about you and get to know you a bit better.
We quite enjoyed that question, something that people don't know about us. It's like... Yeah, we're kind of looking forward to answering it. A bit of background. I'm a Chelmsford girl, born and bred, but ventured off like you do. But as many primary teachers will understand, meeting a man can be very difficult because not many men teach in primary schools. So you don't get to meet them. So actually, my dear friend Kelly encouraged me to get into online dating, to which I will be eternally thankful because this is the result.
Oh, yes!
So we actually met through eHarmony, which, believe it or not, has grown out of a Christian background. So it's gone secular now, but it has Christian roots. But there was the very little known fact is actually we also featured in an eHarmony TV ad, which was shown. I'm loving the faces going, what? I did not know that. That was shown in Australia and the UK. So that is our little surprising piece of information about us.
Did we get to see it?
I didn't think to look on YouTube. I should have done.
We'll try and find it.
But the reason actually how we met was important is because actually when we met and we got to know each other, we actually knew that people was kind of a key thing for us, and that loving people, being there for people, and just we could keep saying it to each other. I remember us driving from Devon up to Essex, and we were just talking about our relationship and where we're going and things like that, and we were just talking about how there was that sense of God just pushing us together. It almost felt like we had no option, but we had to be together, which is a great way of putting it, isn't it? But also, it's like, I had to take him. But, oh, trust me, he says worse about me. So
he hasn't got the microphone, so he can't make a witty comeback, can he?
Thing is our home group know this is totally true, okay? There is worse. But but as our conversation was happening, we both looked at each other and went, it's about people. And that's a real marker for our marriage, is about loving people and being there for people. And so as we have progressed into life groups and leading life group, our own life group firstly, and then being asked to lead overall, it matches what we always knew that we were meant to be as we met.
What a fantastic answer. And
I'd like to just intervene there.
Come on. We're going to have some fun this morning.
Anna portrayed a lovely story then. Yes, that's right, we did get married. And we spent some time in Bermuda, and then we came back to Chelmsford. And at the time, we were just getting ready to go back to work. And we went into town, and we went to the library. And Anna portrays this kind of person who comes from a lovely family background, which she does. But I didn't realise when I got married to her, I signed up to debt as well. And we went into the library, we signed up again, and they asked for her history. And she had debt on her library cards.
Oh, no!
So I thought I'd just let you know that. So the moral of the story is, if you do lend Anna a book, just be careful that you might not get it back.
That is absolutely brilliant. Okay, well, I do really feel like we're getting to know you a little more as people now. There's obviously a lot of hilarity in their life group. Now, I just want to cast your mind back about 3 years ago or so, just over 3 years, actually, and we invited you guys around for lunch, and admittedly, it was slightly lunch with an agenda, wasn't it? Because we wanted to talk to these guys about life groups and just hear their heart for this whole area. And I just seem to remember sitting across from these guys over lunch, and the thing that hit me was passion. It was so clear that leading a life group for them was not just something that they'd stepped into reluctantly, but there was this real sense that for them it was a calling. And I remember them saying that they had like a long-term vision for their life group, that they were actually committing years of their life to cultivate and grow and invest into it. And that really blew me away. So my question for you, Andrew, is this. Why are you so passionate about life groups? What is it that makes you just so enthusiastic and passionate about this?
Good question. I remember being in that meeting, or we had a lunch with you, and at the time I felt very challenged by you asking us to maybe consider leading life groups. And I've personally felt unqualified, and it's although we're, you know, the foundation is like of my passion for kind of the pastoral side of church. I became a Christian in Bermuda, And at the time, I was going through depression and things like that. And I got invited to go to church, and went into this little little gospel church, and there were very loud music. It was very loud music, and there was people with their hands in the air, and I thought, I've never experienced this before. And I just thought they were quite crazy, to be fair. And and then the guy starts speaking, the pastor, and I'd never grown up in church, I'd never been, and he was talking about the mind and renewing the mind, and it's like, is this guy talking to me, you know? Felt like I was the only person in the room. And this went on for probably between 3 and 6 months, and it just made a lot of sense to me, but at the time I thought, oh, this needs to be translated into into a language, like you've got a whole church language which the people of the world don't know. And I'm so thankful that those people, they invested time into me three nights a week. It was like a life group, but it was like just Bible study. And we had three meetings a week. And I'm just so thankful for that, for a foundation. And that kind of drives me in knowing how God, over time, by becoming a Christian, God took away that depression. And, I just want people who might be in despair, a bit like what Stu was saying, you know, that the people in Romania are in absolute despair, but people are also in despair in this country, and people might be sitting here today, and they might be in despair, you know, they might be going through stuff, and just keep coming to church. Go on the DNA course, get to know people within the church, and then maybe filter into life groups. And just so that's my kind of passion, really, to encourage others who might be new to the church and want to step into that.
That's amazing. Thank you for being so vulnerable. Yeah. Do you want to add to that, Anna?
If I could. That's
Please do. Yeah. Yep.
Not quite as vulnerable, I'm afraid. Sorry. Well done, though, love. So we've actually been leading our group for, I think it's about 5 years, I think. Something like that. We lose track. But actually, it's like, why are we so passionate about it? It's like, we've got a group of people who we just love. And some of them have been with us from the beginning. Some have gone. Some have moved away. Some have felt it's time to go to a different church. You know, that's life. That's totally fine. Some of us have been with us the whole time. And they are great people. And they are, you know, typically on a Tuesday before they arrive, if we're really honest, we're tired and we don't want them to come. That's honest. Because something happens. Every time it's life group night, something happens. And that's what happens for us. And we both sit and go, I just haven't got the energy. Oh, toys are everywhere. House is a mess. I haven't done the washing up. John always picks me up on the washing up. But, you know. John Kemp, yeah. But, that, yeah. If he would just do it for me, that would be great. But, but actually, the first person walks in the door and the whole thing changes. And we love it. And we can never go to bed that night easily because we just have so much fun with our group that we're both kind of buzzing. And you know what it's like when you've had a fun evening? You can't settle yourself. And yeah, and it's like that is great in itself, but it's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's, you know, we have a barbecue every summer. We play buzz at Christmas and we try and have mulled wine. And, you know, we've got our own little home group traditions that we have. We come and we worship together. We pray together. We study together, we do all those things together, but actually we also hear people go, do you know what, I need a new job, can you pray about my job for me? One guy, literally, we prayed on the Tuesday, by the Friday he'd got a new job, and it was an amazing job as well, it was unbelievable. But we get to see that, and we get to see that just on a fortnightly basis, as the months go by, we get to see it. We've had people come in, and you know, there's been bereavement, and that's been really tough. And we've walked through those paths together. There's been so many, there's so many things you could list. But actually, I said to Nikki before the service, I said, some of it is so precious we can't talk about it. Yeah. And actually, that's really important that as a group we don't. We all know in the group what we're talking about. But, but that takes time to cultivate, but it doesn't take long to cultivate. Some of us don't like being vulnerable, and it takes us longer to be vulnerable. And to want people to actually know that everything isn't okay. Or sometimes life is just ticking over and it is really all okay. And that's, you know, there's times for those, isn't there? but actually as leaders as well, and we think it's really important to focus on the leader bit too, is that we've ended up going into something to serve people, and to, just because we wanted our own walk with God to grow, and we come away blessed too, more than we probably meant. And actually, like, we've got some stuff that's ongoing in our lives. If you don't ask us about houses, okay, for example. Yeah, those of you laughing know exactly what we're talking about. That has been going on for nearly 6.5 years now, something crazy. But our group still ask us every week, how is it? And we have our little moan every week. And they listen, and we're eternally grateful that they listen, and they pray, and they're faithfully praying with us that will get us sorted. We didn't start a home group up to sort out issues in our own lives. That was never, ever our intention. But yeah, actually, these people were there with us, and they get it, and they understand, and they really care. And, you know, and you come away as a leader going, thanks, guys. I didn't want to dominate tonight with this, because I know you've got other things going on, but they still ask. And that's really precious. And you don't just get that from sitting in a pew, because with the best one in the world, VLT, or whoever it is that you look at as to be the significant person in church, cannot meet all your needs. They physically can't do it. You can probably meet the needs of 15 people, realistically, properly. And then some of us end up going away disappointed because we perceived somebody should have done something for us and they didn't, but they probably didn't even know. Or if they did know, they may have thought, well, someone else is picking it up because or somebody else is coming. You know, these guys have got full-on lives like we all have. So actually we have to connect with each other at our own level and we have to support one another. We cannot depend upon leadership or whatever word you want to give that to do that. No one can.
Can you hear the passion? Right? This is what came across the table at lunch. I mean, I love it. This, you can see very clearly that these guys are called and chosen for what they're doing. Now, I know, having sat with you before, that you have got an incredible vision for the area of life groups. And I just wondered if you could share it with the church so that we can pray into that, so that we can be a part of that too.
Sure. There's kind of 4 points that we kind of focus on within vision of life groups, and within the life groups themselves, but also we kind of help to look after other life group leaders and answer any questions and point them in the other directions for pastoral care, etc. Point number one is to feel and being connected. Anna just kind of touched on that, and in John 13 it says, "A new commandment I give you is to love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." And we just feel it's so key that we follow those scripture, you know, that scripture. And there's that kind of unconditional love whereby, you know, you might be in a home group and they might not all be your best buddies, but we've got to love one another, and that's just a great representation. And we learn how to love one another, but also in the workplace we can learn how to love one another. And even though you might not quite like that person at work, if you love them, then it kind of reveals Christ and we just become more Christ-like. Point number two is kind of spiritual growth. In Timothy there's a scripture, it says, "Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth." I think God always wants us to be one step in front of where we are. If we make a step towards God, he'll make a step towards us. So, you know, if we need our daily bread, but sometimes Sunday to Sunday is a long time, so you know, we need spiritual growth, and life groups is a great kind of area to help you in spiritual growth. Would you like to touch on the next thing?
Yeah, the next part is it's biblical. If you think about it, it really, really is biblical. I'll give you just a couple of verses to back that up. "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them." And that's Matthew 18. And then in Acts, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, the only way we can live the way God really wants us to live is to let ourselves have those edges knocked off, to let ourselves immerse ourselves in his word and truly grapple with it and try and make sure we understand it. Instead of going, you know, I don't quite get what they said in the sermon, or I'm not sure I agree, and then go away and do nothing. You actually can go to your home group and go, what do you guys think? And then you get a whole range of opinions, and suddenly your own thinking is improved and developed, and you know, we become more of Christ, which is what we're called to be. We are asked to be Christ-like, and it is only him we have to stand before at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what the rest of it is. And if we haven't done anything in our lives to make sure we are continuing to walk with him, what are we missing out on? We're always saved. Once a Christian, I believe, feel free to come to home group and discuss it. but we are his, aren't we? When we've acknowledged him, we are his. But actually, he's got more than just salvation. And salvation's huge. So what the heck is it that he's got? We have to be doing things to find out. It's so easy. I fall into it most weeks to come away from a Sunday and then I'm just getting on with my life. And then, you know, I might happen to give time to it if I think about it properly. You know, quiet time with a toddler is fun. You know, it's you know what it's like? It's hard, isn't it? So we have to do things to put ourselves in that position. Which also leads us to the last point that we feel is really important, which is about support and accountability. And as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And it kind of links back as well about being known about our love for one another. It's like we're going through a situation at work, or you're going through something within your friendship group that's not connected to church and so on. How do we make sure we're reacting in the best way, the most honourable way to God? How do we stand there and be salt? We can't be salt if we're not letting ourselves learn and know and practice it. And where better to practice it than within your home group?
Yeah, that's great.
Much safer place, I hope, because we all should be forgiving each other as well for when we get it wrong. But, to be who he wants us to be as iron sharpens iron, we have to expose ourselves. And we have to let ourselves be vulnerable. I'm not saying you've got to come and sit in home group and burst into tears and dredge up stuff from your childhood. And that's not what we're talking about. We're just talking about being open about who you are, where you are with God, and what you need to do next to become more Christ-like, because that is what we're all asked to do.
Brilliant. That's fantastic. Now, I'm just conscious of time, so I'm going to cluster the next couple of questions together. Can you handle that? Two for the price of one. So I would imagine, sitting here, that there's probably a couple of categories of people who aren't in a life group. Firstly, I'd say there's people who are new to the church and who are just getting a feel for things. But secondly, I reckon there's probably quite a few people here who have what I like to call like their little tune out button. And you know when you just really feel like, no, that's not for me. I'm just going to, like, the moment someone mentions a life group, you're kind of tuning out already. It may be because you're not an extrovert. And so you feel like if you're part of a life group, you might be forced to become something you're not. Or sometimes it's because we've had a bad experience, maybe in another church, maybe even in this church, and there's hurt that we're carrying. So my question is, for any of those people today who aren't plugged into a life group currently, what could they expect if they go along? What are some of the common ingredients in a life group? I know that they're all different. They'll all have a different flavour. But what are some of the common threads? And what are some of the obstacles that you think hinder people from being a part of a life group?
That's good. Life groups, we want to be a reflection of church. We had family over a couple of weeks ago, and we all came to church, and they really enjoyed church. And they said the welcome they received from our church was incredible. And they would like to apply that into their own churches, and they go to some significant churches. So it would be, and we feel like that's really healthy, and we want to, our home groups are already doing this, and being hospitable, and it is quite key into building that relationship in order to impart Christ and, share our lives about our faith. And so we just feel that's really important, that we're a reflection of our church. An evening typically kind of starts with everyone gathering together, and then we'll have coffee and we'll have a natter about just life in general. And then we'll kind of typically have a moment of worship and that could be someone playing on a guitar, or it might be like Christian karaoke in a way, where we'll have this app on our iPads called I Sing Worship, and everything, you know, it's just like karaoke, but you don't have that dot jumping, bouncing along the words. And it's just a really engaging time, and it just allows you to forget everything what's going in your life and then focus on God. And, you know, the scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. So it's like we might be going through all sorts of issues in your life, but, you know, God does say, you know, take your daily bread, you know, focus on me for a moment. And quite often when we're focusing on God, that's when those issues get dealt with. And it's just part of the reflection of our life group with the, and then we'll have worship, and then we'll go into teaching. Our church leaders, they provide a pro forma every week of a set of questions that is based on the previous Sunday's sermon. And life group leaders can impart that into and encourage the group into asking questions about the sermon, going through the scripture. Sometimes we might watch a DVD, like a Louis Giglio DVD or something like that. And then once we've had the teaching for maybe an hour or so, we'll go into a time of prayer. So quite often we know what's going on in people's lives, so we'll have some time of prayer. And then that's a typical evening, really.
Fantastic. That sounds amazing.
So, yeah, the obstacles that might just be there that stop you from going. And we've mentioned one already, tiredness. It's a real southeast problem, this, isn't it? But, you know, I think there's many reasons and factors for it, but it can be really real. And you can sit there of an evening, you sat down, you've done dinner, you've got that sorted, you sit on the couch, and there's no way you're going to move. And a lot of us have that going on. And actually, that act of self-discipline to get up and go and think, do you know what, I am going to meet with God's people because this is important for me. It's really important. And it can be really tough. It can be really tough to do it because of tiredness. There's no other reason for it. And that perceived busyness that we all have. But actually, what's the priority? And for us, it is being in a life group. And so, yeah, we do sit there, as I've said, exhausted, thinking, just please don't all show up. And then someone does, and the whole thing just changes. And it is really important. We have had, I won't mention any names, but we have had people fall asleep in home group. So
you know you're good friends when you can fall asleep in front
absolutely.
Of someone.
But we won't dwell on it. I was so tempted to mention the name, but I won't. But you know, we have
was
had
it you
happen.
Andrew?
No, it wasn't him. No. But you know, but that's all right. It just made us all laugh, and it's totally fine. Another reason why, but you know, it's worth coming anyway. Even though they did fall asleep, they were a blessing to us that evening. another problem, of course, is shift work. That can be a real problem if your basic time schedule doesn't allow. We have some. We think they're a member of our home group. They haven't been for 2 years. They're in it. We have a little Facebook page. Which we all kind of, it's all secret, and we just ping messages to each other when we need, you know, can you just pray about this, or can anyone do this for me, and so on. They're on that page. In fact, we've got two people that are on that page. One half of the married couple come to our group, and the other half just physically can't do it because of other commitments. But they're still in our group. We still pray for them. We all went away together last November. They came with us. Of course they did. They're part of our group. If, you know, that's how we're overcoming that issue. It could well be that there's a group of you, and it's like, actually, if we had a daytime group that might work, that, you know, we could, even if it's just once a month, you know, you have to think creatively. But it's like, how can we overcome this so that I'm letting myself just get a little bit more than Sunday to Sunday to Sunday can do
brilliant.
For me? Commuting is obviously an obstacle because, you know, if the trains get, well, yeah, the trains are a nightmare, aren't they? But commuting can be a real problem. But maybe there's a whole group of you that all work near each other in London. Well, why not meet up for lunch once a fortnight and just sit and chat together? It doesn't have to be the inner home, in the formal old-fashioned or whatever perceived way you have of it. If we're creative about it, we can then stand together and support one another. And like most Sundays, when we're trying to get out the door, we can't because it's our home group who are coming to talk to us. And that's lovely. We don't mind in the least. It's really lovely. But they are the people that we have the biggest connection with here. And actually, you know, I find the end of church really difficult, if I'm honest. I don't do small talk very well. Which might come as a surprise because I don't have a problem communicating.
I'm really surprised.
Yeah,
by
I
need
that. I hate it, and Andrew will, find it really difficult. So if I wasn't in a life group, I would be sat at the back, and I'd find it really hard to talk to anybody. And it would have to, someone would have to come and find me, and force me to talk, and then I would. But my life group disguised that because, of course, I can wander around and I can see them and I feel safe. And that's my temperament.
That is so great.
And I won't be the only one who's like that.
No.
And who finds actually that end of church, or the beginning as well, that's probably why most of us are late. Because, let's be honest, but you can get away with it, can't you? You don't have to do the small talk. Yeah, I'm so right.
I'm going to stop you there.
Oh, really? I've got so much more.
They're going to... I think people are off to collect their children. So I just want to come into land with this last question before the children rejoin us, which is this. I think it's safe to say that these guys are outstanding leaders, aren't they? From what we've heard. And I know that their heart is to see more life groups established and more life group leaders released in this place. So my question is for you guys. If somebody today is sitting here and something that you have said has resonated, what should they do? Number one, if they want to join a life group. But number two, perhaps actually we've got people who are mature Christians who would love to get involved with leading or being part of leading a life group. What should they do next?
That's good. Quite often, God might be talking to you at the moment, and... God might be giving you a nudge on the inside. It might not be just entering into a life group. It might be helping out in kids' church. It might be helping out pastorally with the counselling. It could be, oh, I should be going to Extol, really. You know, what's God saying to you? What's he been saying? While we've been here, what's he been saying to your heart? Just feel free to come and talk to us if you want to get into a life group. Anna and I will be standing over by the information desk afterwards. And we'd also like the other life group leaders to come and stand with us over there and answer any questions that people might be having. And if you've been thinking about becoming a life group leader, if you feel that you've got a natural sense of hospitality and you just got a love for people, that's kind of the foundation of what you need. And it's great when we've seen other leaders thinking where we've approached them and said, would you like to lead a life group? And they'll go, a bit like I said, I don't feel qualified, I feel scared and timid. That's quite often when God's wanting you to step up. And when you step up, God works through you. You know, try and forget your own fear. Allow God to work through you. And it just gives you that opportunity.
Thank you. Now, I would love for us as a church to pray for these two today and for the whole area of life groups in the church. So could we stand together as family? And could I just have the rest of the VLT just to come and pray with us this morning? They've made themselves really vulnerable today because what they've done is they've just taken their heart and they've laid it bare for all of us to see. And so I want to just pray protection over these guys, over their family. But I also want to pray that there will be people in this room who just respond and who listen online to this message and who actually respond, maybe overcome some of those obstacles we've heard about today and step up and connect into a life group and also step up to lead a life group. So let's join together and pray. Why don't you reach your arms out if you're able? Lord, we bless the Holland family today. We thank you, God, that not only did they step up to the plate and agree to lead a life group, but actually, Lord, as we've heard, their heart is to see others released into leading life groups. Their heart is to see us as church really operating as family on the micro level as well as the macro level on a Sunday morning. And Lord, you know that their role in that is enormous. And so, Father, today we just want to thank you for who you've called them to be. We thank you, Lord, for the way in which they said yes to you. And Lord, we know that at times that's been costly. Lord, where they'd rather be sitting on the sofa unwinding, or Lord, where actually they'd rather not be making small talk and all those different things that they've said today. But Lord, they actually overlooked their own preference and they said yes to you. And we know, God, that you love obedience. You love obedience more than sacrifice. You say you love hearts that just say yes to you. And so, God, what I want to pray is a blessing over the area of life groups in our church. Lord, I want to pray that we would thrive and flourish. Lord, that our small groups that meet, that we call life groups, would be just that, that they would be life to those who feel that they're dying on the inside spiritually. Lord, that they would just breathe a fresh hope over those who are in despair. Father, that they would cause those who are feeling isolated to feel part of the wider family. And Lord, that they would be a place not only where people come to receive, but where people come to give of themselves, to make that unique contribution that only they can make. Father, we want to ask that you would cause more life groups to be birthed as a result of the seeds that were sown this morning. We pray, God, that you would release people who are sitting here today thinking, I really just want to do more. Lord, to step in and to lead a life group. And Father, we just thank you for protection over this beautiful family. We pray for Elsie as well, Lord, as she's on this faith journey too. Lord, as a family, I just want to pray that they would, Lord, just inherit everything that you have for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Hannah and Andrew. What a blessing. You know, they're still telling me that there's so much more they could have said. So do go over to the info desk, have a chat, find out more. We love you, Skylark Church. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next Sunday with the incredible Bev Murrell. Take